Blog Talk Radio.
Hell on the Show Radio.
Good evening. Do you feel the excitement? It is Wednesday. It is the 29th of August. You can find me at Folsom County on Twitter. You can also find the above average comedian, Dan the Man Law. And where can they find you, Dan?
They find me at DanLaw83.
Later on, we are certainly going to have... My goodness, what are we going to have? Omega Squad, to talk about the cancellation of UFC 151.
Yeah, I'm interested, actually. I want to hear. I purposely didn't read anything other than the original headline because I want you guys to tell me what the heck is going on.
So we're going to get into that. We're going to have Niles Young. He's a CZW veteran. He's also involved with Sideshow Pro, Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling. He's been around. He's going to be here tonight. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Well, you can follow us on Twitter, Dan. Where can they follow us on Twitter? You know.
Hiac Talk Radio. H-I-A-C Talk Radio on Twitter.
And you can like the Facebook. Facebook.com. Niles is a very patient guy. We'll get right to him after we hear his theme music, of course. Niles Young, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Thanks for hanging in there, sir.
Anytime, my friend, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, this is, I've been looking forward to this. Now, I want to start out, you're a CZW veteran.
Yes,
not a
sir.
Lot of people, you're actually a former tag team champion.
Yes, sir. I was also, for a short time there, the junior heavyweight champion.
There you go. It was very lackluster
title reign. So, I mean, it's definitely not, you know, amongst, you know, Ruckus and Trent Acid and Sanjay Dutt. You know, I wouldn't exactly put myself up with those guys, but, you know, I had the strap for a while.
So, just briefly tell me a little bit about your time with CZW, and you're still part of the roster.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, nowadays, you know, it's every other show, it's every couple of shows, it's, you know, I guess they don't really want to utilize me, you know, the way they could nowadays, but I guess I started wrestling there regularly in 2003 up till, I'd say, the very start of 2008, but yeah, I mean, it was a great place to start your career. It really gave me a good chance to, I guess, get acquainted with a difficult wrestling audience before I ever really got my feet wet with, I guess, your regular wrestling audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is definitely a rowdy crowd. Now,
Now,
was there some time you took off? Was there a hiatus of some sorts?
Well, definitely. I mean, like, right at the tail end of, I mean, you know, I guess 2007, that year, I guess after having a few years under my belt and, you know, getting the runaround as a lot of CZW, I guess, trained and homegrown talents do. I mean, I guess that's the story you hear a lot over the years is, you know, I guess the dependable guys, the guys that were that came out of the academy or, you know, the local guys tend to get the shaft a lot. So, you know, obviously, like I said, having a few years under my belt, a couple title reigns, a couple tournament wins, you know what I mean? I started to, you know, get the same sort of ego that every young upstart gets, you know what I mean? So I guess I developed what a lot of people call bitterness, you know what I mean? And you just start to get bitter. From month to month, you start to get more and more bitter. You don't, you know, like the show's being booked that day. You don't know what you're doing. You don't like what you're doing. You don't like, you know, you don't like this program that you're in or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I guess I experienced a lot of issues that year. I mean, I dropped the junior title to Sexy Eddie and then kicked off after the finish, which is a big no-no. It was the same year I headbutted Brett Lauderdale. And, you know, it was the same year I had a big falling out with Manny DeManto as a result of booking. So, needless to say, by the end of, you know, 2007, start of 2008, I was exiled from the company. I was basically kicked out, you know, told to take a hike, and John Zandig thought that it was all because of my ex-girlfriend and so on and so forth. So, it was just, you know, I was pissed off. I was pissed off at the time, but it was the right thing to do, you know, to basically, you know, dump the bucket of water and ice on my head and say, get the hell out of here, you know, you asshole, and go elsewhere and learn your lesson kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Okay, so you took some time off. You came back. Now, where did you return? Was it CZW, or were there some other promotions?
Well, I never particularly stopped wrestling. I just stopped wrestling for CZW. You know, like I said, I more or less got thrown out at the beginning of 2008 by Zandig. And, you know, and as soon as DJ bought the company a few years back, I guess sometime in 2009, I guess it was, mm-hmm. You know, I started to sort of make my way back and go back to the school and train there again. And, you know, basically just start showing my face around the locker room again. And, you know, it was just a matter of time before I realized where my home was and that I, you know, still wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, like I guess extinguished the ego and wanted to help out more, you know, help younger students, help younger wrestlers. And just, you know, show them how easy it is to get over if you know what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Now, that is one interesting aspect, because I think you're really good at getting that heat from the crowd.
Well, thank
you. Now, is that a certain art that you perfect over the time? Or, I mean, how do you come up with that persona that people just hate you that much?
Well, you know, it's definitely, it's sort of like that Stone Cold philosophy where, like, I guess, you know, the Stone Cold Steve Austin character that he created was more or less, you know, a version of himself but turned way up, you know what I mean? And I like to believe that Niles Young is sort of me, but the side that I don't really show often, or at least the side that, you know, I guess the average citizen suppresses because it's not acceptable in society, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
As far as the jerk that, you know, will definitely close the door on the old lady, or, you know, flip off the little kid, or, you know what I mean, or take the candy from the baby, or whatever the case may be, you know what I mean, and it's a lot of fun, and for the most part, I'm just mimicking and embodying all my heroes, you know what I mean, and everybody that I ever thought was a dastardly, like, chicken shit type heel, you know what I mean?
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Now, in addition to CZW that you work at once and again, you also are heavily involved in Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling at this point. Now, how did that come about?
You know, actually, it was, I don't want to say it was an accident by any means. I was definitely always interested in working for them. But I had attended their most recent show, I guess, you know, their debut launch sort of show, last month, and Kimberly was actually scheduled to wrestle Mia Yim there. So, you know, being the good guy I am, I went along for the ride, and sure enough, Danny DeManto, speak of the devil, his opponent that he was scheduled to wrestle didn't show up. So he asked the promoter, you know, hey, Niles is here. Can I, you know, I wrestle Niles? And they threw me on. We were actually second on the card, and, you know, we did really well. Like, the crowd was hot for us. You know, it was a pretty, you know, fun, easy show, family show, and they asked me back, and you know, I hope to go back as soon as possible and as often as possible. I know that their September 8th show is actually moving.
October 27th, I believe.
Yeah, 27th now, and which unfortunately I'm actually not going to be able to make. But yeah, I know, right? It's miserable. I was looking forward to the 8th, and then that got canceled, and you know, now the 27th I can't do because of a prior engagement. And but I know they'll be running again in November, so hopefully they'll have me back, and you know, hopefully they can find something for me.
Okay, so likewise, you're also involved with Sideshow Pro. That's kind of the brainchild of Joe Gacy and a few of his friends. Now, just describe Sideshow Pro in case someone isn't familiar with it. One of you know, our listeners aren't familiar with Sideshow Pro.
Well, Sideshow Pro is, I mean, I guess you could say that it's sort of a combination of Force One Wrestling, a little bit of Chikara, a little bit of CZW, and definitely sort of a little bit of its own unique thing in the sense that, you know, you really have a wide range of people in the locker room from, you know, people like myself, obviously some masked people such as like Latin Dragon and Lance Steele, and Ophidian works there, and even Xelox, the character has been created exclusively at Sideshow Pro. But, you know, you have a wide range of wrestling as well. You have tag team wrestling, you know, you have your heavyweight style, your juniors, your a little bit of comedy in there, some female wrestling, and it's definitely just a good, really fun, really family-friendly type show. Like I said, with a plethora of different characters.
Now, it's also announced that they are making their return October 20th.
Yes, sir. I just found that out today myself.
Yes. So October 20th, Sideshow Pro will return. Hopefully we get to see you in the ring with Cluck Norris.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm hoping, I got my fingers crossed, that that's not the case. I mean, that Cluck Norris is one, you know, one devastating SOB, so...
Yes,
you know, I don't want any of that, but I mean, I'll definitely be there, and I'll definitely be in action. In what capacity, I'm not sure yet.
Maybe you'll be in the Funway, whatever it's called.
Funhouse Four-Way or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. That'd be fun.
Yes.
I'd be down.
Yes. But is there anything else you wanted to tell the people? It's kind of like an open forum right now because you were pushed back, so I'm giving you the mic.
Oh, well, I mean... Definitely.
Anything you want to talk about? You asked me a question. I don't know. Whatever. It's been a strange night.
How's it been going tonight? All right, guys. I mean, like, I haven't listened to the whole show. I mean, we're cutting into my Big Bang Theory time right now, which is a big no-no. So, I mean, that's what I was doing for the last hour and a half or so, but instead of working out like it should have been. But,
oh, my goodness. I'm stopping people from working out.
I'm not working out.
I know.
Out.
Oh,
I'm
be careful. Niles might put on – he might put on 3 pounds.
Oh, dude, it would be terrible. It would be terrible.
Have you seen this guy's body? He is not just average. He is slightly above average.
I am indeed. I am indeed slightly above average. And, you know, I need a pin that says that or a, you know, badge to sew to my jacket or something like that. That should honestly be my gimmick from now on, like slightly above average Niles Young. And, you know, I win sometimes, and that's what people will expect, you know?
I like that. But, Niles, certainly I hope the best for you because you are definitely – you have it. And I just hope that what I see as a fan, the bookers, the promoters see the same thing.
Well, thank you, and you know I appreciate that. And you know, obviously, with some people, it's easier than others. You know, for some promoters, it's easy to convince them of one thing, and others, you know, it's like bleeding the rock. You know, you just can't do it. It just doesn't work. But like I said, I really appreciate it. You know, and I'm gonna keep trying. I'm gonna keep doing the best I can, and. Everyone can go out there and follow me on Twitter @NilesJones. Don't forget to get that plug in there. But yeah, totally, man. So it's been a lot of fun, and I hope to stay healthy and keep on trucking, you know.
Yeah, and I hope to see you in a few other promotions because I think you're really getting your name out there, and it's only a matter of time.
Awesome, man. Yeah, like I said, I mean, as far as September goes, I mean, what's supposed to be Jersey Shore, that date got moved. I know CZW is going down to Delaware on the 22nd. The 28th, I'll be up in Binghamton, New York for Excite Wrestling. In October is the return of RCW down in Maryland at the Dew Burns Arena on the 6th. The 20th, like you've mentioned, is Sideshow Pro. The 27th would have been Jersey Shore, but alas, I'll be at a wedding. But, you know, definitely, I'll be everywhere. I'll be at CZW. Whether they're using me or not, I'll be there. So,
good.
You know, definitely come check it out. You might see me there.
Good. You never. Go ahead, Dan.
This wedding would really, really better be worth it.
Well, you could talk to Johnny Calzone because he's the jerk that's getting married and ruining it.
Oh,
his
that
party.
Son of a gun.
That fat pizza man jerk face.
Pizza's ready. That's what I say. When I think of Johnny Calzone, I always think of pizza's ready.
I'm really hungry now.
When they're doing the reception entrances, you can be sure I'm a Yakuza kick him right out of his shoes.
There you go. So, but Niles, one last question, and that is, how is the puppy?
Oh, how's the puppy? Oh, well, she's great. I'm miserable, but the dog's great.
I just, I thought I'd throw that one in for you, but.
No, the dog, she's fantastic. I'm terrible. It's great.
It's a great arrangement.
Great for everyone except me.
Yeah, it sounds like everybody's winning on that one.
Yeah, totally.
So follow Niles on Twitter, at Niles Young. And he's got a lot of dates. Now, is there a place on Facebook, like do you have a fan page that has all the dates listed, or you don't
you
have
know, I, unfortunately, I don't. But, I mean, if anyone is friends with me on Facebook, I mean, I'm usually pretty good about posting things in advance. So, I mean, you can obviously check it out there. And, you know, I'm always plugging things on Twitter, which are all synced together anyway. So, I mean, I'm pretty good about announcing everything. So as long as you're friends with me on Facebook or following me on Twitter or something, you'll definitely be able to, you know, stay up to date with me, you know. Yeah, totally.
Now, last question. I thought the previous one was, but last question.
That's all right.
You said that you had there was a little bit of time that you were bitter toward the company. You had a bit of an ego. You were in the business. Now, what would your advice be for somebody who's coming up? They're not really a greenie anymore, but they're coming up. They have some time under their belt, and then they get that attitude. What would you say to somebody like that in the business now that you look back in retrospect?
Well, I mean, I guess definitely just. You know, just try to shake it. You know what I mean? Try to stay humble. It is the type of business, much like any sort of show business, that, you know, when you do get a little attention or a little bit of respect or, you know, whether one person or everybody bends over backwards for you, you do tend to think a little bit more of yourself, you know, or, you know, you've taken enough of the stupid bumps and you don't want to do it anymore. And it's like, I'm not taking that finish or I'm not... You know, I'm not jobbing to this guy. Like, the biggest, most ridiculous thing that, like, I struggle with when I hear, you know, other wrestlers talk is, like, not wanting to do the job to somebody or not wanting to lose to somebody. I just lost to my girlfriend last Wednesday. Like, we went down to Atlantic City to do Fighting Spirit Wrestling. That's another company I've been wrestling for that I failed to mention, Fighting Spirit, with Maximos. And, we just did a show for them in Atlantic City on Wednesday, and I lost to my girlfriend in like 5 minutes as a result of a run-in from Alex Payne. Like, some people would have a problem with that, you know, and to me that's ridiculous because it's fake fighting, folks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, you know what I mean? It's pretend. I wear my underpants in front of hundreds of people and put on oil and touch other dudes. It's friggin' fake, you know, like, get over yourself, you know what I mean? Like,
you don't wear that oil and underwear to the pop shop, do you?
Well, you know, just on Thursday evenings, you know what I mean, like, every now and again.
Wait. I have to back this up. You said that wrestling is fake?
Well, I mean...
It's still real to me, damn it!
Got that queued up? That was good. Very good. Getting back to what you were asking, like, you know, that's the thing to keep in mind, everybody. It's like, I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how fucking beautiful your body is. I just don't care if you're John Cena. I don't care if you're Chuck Norris. You know, you got to keep in mind that we're all here to make the people come back. And I found that in my career that whether I'm winning or losing, people will come back to see me because I did make my mark. Whether it was because they were so happy that said face pinned me, or I pinned that baby face, and they want to come back to see that baby face get revenge on me. You know what I mean? Whether I got pinned or I did the pinning, I made an impact. You know what I mean? And like how often did Ric Flair lose in his career? All the time. And he's still one of the greatest and most memorable wrestlers of all time, if not the greatest. And it was because of his charisma. It was because of the personality he brought to the TV. And that's just it, you know? So if you're getting an ego because, you know, you came up in a promotion like CZW or one of the more prestigious indies, I guess, in the United States, just keep in mind you're just Joe Schmo number 37, and that's really all anybody's ever going to remember you for, you know? So stay humble. Don't get an attitude. Be willing to lose. Belts don't mean anything. They don't even hold up your pants. If anything, they actually make your pants sag if you try to wear, you know, a title belt. So it's like they're useless, you know?
That's great advice. Niles, I do want to thank you. I was looking forward to this. You got pushed back a little bit, so thanks for hanging out.
No problem.
Yeah, thanks for everything. We're definitely going to get you back sometime soon because, goodness, great interview, sir.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm glad I could help out, and I'd be happy to come back whenever you have time.
Okay, thank you so much. And again, that's Twitter, and that's at Niles Young.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you have a great night, sir.
Yeah, buddy, be good, man.
Okay, so everyone, that was Niles Young.
Good interview, sir.
Yes, I like Niles. I like Niles a lot. Good guy, great guy. Good, great, googly moogly. Omega Squad, how are you doing?
I don't know how I can be expected to prepare for a new time slot on 25 minutes notice.
I know what you're getting at. Now, the big news in the MMA world is, of course, Dana White, the president of UFC, canceled UFC 151. There was an injury to Dan Henderson. Omega, how do you feel about this cancellation? And how do you feel about the outrage people have toward John Jones over this whole thing?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of blame to be thrown around with this cancellation. You know, there's plenty of blame on UFC for booking a card that was so thin that the collapse of the main event, you know, meant that they didn't have enough confidence in the rest of the card to let it continue on pay-per-view. There's certainly a lot of blame to be put on Dana White as to how he handled, you know, the press conference and just showing the anger from, you know, having to cancel it. And there's a lot of miscues with, you know, obviously it was initially announced that Lyoto Machida would be fighting, would be replacing John, Henderson. And fighting John Jones on the 22nd, that fell through, and now we have Vitor Belfort. So, you know, it's really kind of, you know, a lot of this is on UFC and Dana White for creating this situation where one match could collapse an entire event. That being said, there is a lot of blame that can be put on John Jones and the way how he handled this. He was asked to step up and take a fight against Chael Sonnen, a guy who, you know, who recently was a 185-pounder. hasn't been training, and stepped up on short notice after John Jones had a full camp of training to, you know, just step up and have a fight. You are the champion of your division. I don't understand why you can't, after a full training camp, fight a guy like in that situation where all the advantages are in your favor. You have a deck of cards and you have 51 of the cards in your hand. He's fully capable of beating Sonnen on any given night, probably a fully trained Sonnen. He has a tremendous chance of defeating him easily. It's ridiculous to me that he didn't step up to fight it. Now, we can blame Greg Jackson for that, for the advice he gave Jones and saying you shouldn't take the fight because it could be the biggest mistake of your career. I don't agree with that at all. I think that, at worst, if Sonnen got lucky and managed to win, I just don't think that anybody would hold it against Jones that much. And even if he could, even if he did, what's the worst that would have happened? UFC would have thrown a lot of money at him for having to take that fight on short notice.
Yeah.
He would have got an immediate rematch if that happened. And I don't think anybody would have blamed Jones. I think there would have been a little bit of a tarnish of his reputation if on the 1% chance that Sonnen won, but he would have would have had a rematch, would have prepared, and I think he would have defeated Sonnen easily. I just don't understand how someone coming off the bad press that Jones has had recently, the DWI arrest,
yes,
and being the champion of this of your division, why you don't want to keep the positive PR going? Why don't you want to do a favor for your employer? And so you can have the fight you want down the road. So you have the right to refuse something down the road. It's just ridiculous to me.
Now, someone who's completely hasn't gotten any blame is Dan Henderson, who was injured about 3 weeks ago and held this back for quite some time. So do you think Dan Henderson should be blamed for any of this?
Well, I mean, you can't blame him for getting injured. I mean, he gets injured and he tried to gut through it. And I think Henderson realized that his time in this sport is limited.
Yeah.
And this was his chance, and he wanted to keep this fight going. I think he tried to train on it and tried to let it heal as much as he could, and just came down to the fact that he could not go. I don't necessarily blame him for that. I don't know if he didn't disclose it. He probably should have disclosed it earlier, certainly. I don't know if it would have changed anything.
Now, another thing coming out of this is, do you think with the Fox deal, and they have fights on Fuel TV, they have fights on Fox, of course, do you think they're spreading the rosters too thin? Because besides Jones, Henderson, for the original UFC 151, there wasn't really much to be interested in.
Well, I think there's certainly some merit to that. I think it's a combination of the roster being spread too thin. I think you got guys who – I think there's too many events for the roster they maintain. And I think there is some merit to the guys who are overtraining or are getting injured because they're trying to come back too fast. On the other hand, I still think you got guys like some of these champions that are taking 6-7 months off at a clip. And are, who should be fighting 4 or 5 months, in my view, that, those are one to two more cards you can fill out with quality talent. And make the cards better. That's maybe you don't need as many events to make your money. But that being said, you've backed yourself into this corner where you've got a Fox deal and a Fuel TV deal where you've got X number of events you've got that you have to put on for them, and then you have to supplement. But you're not making enough money from those deals to make a profit or at least a big enough profit. So you got to rely on pay-per-view revenues. And, you know, you're kind of stuck. You can't back off on the pay-per-views, and you can't back off on your contractual obligations to Fox and Fuel. So I'm not sure there's a way out of it at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, so once the smoke clears, we have Belfort moving up in weight. He, of course, lost to Anderson Silva previously, who's probably the clone of not the clone, but he's very similar to John Jones in a lot of ways. So do you like this fight for UFC 152? I see a very quick win for John Jones.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think this is a short notice fight that's little better than Sonnen, honestly. I mean, I think Belfort was at least training to move up to 205.
Yeah.
So he was going to fight Alan Belcher. So he's at least training, and he's going to have at least a few weeks to prepare for John Jones. At 35, coming off his wrist injury, he's been out, going to be out for 8 to 9 months. I think he's going to be, you know, I tend to agree with you. I think it's going to be a quick night for Belfort.
Rush in and get the quick knockout.
You know, it's hard to discount 17 years of experience. You're going to have this guy has been fighting forever, so he's always got the puncher's chance. He's good on the ground. You know, you got to think that he's got at least as good a chance as anybody had. You know, whether or not he's got the finishing power and the athleticism from anymore to deal with Jones' lengths and Jones' abilities, I don't know. I tend to agree with the betting lines and that Vitor Belfort is a huge underdog in this fight.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, is there anything else coming up in MMA we want to cover? I think that was it.
It's pretty sparse up until, you know, that with the cancellation of 151, we're kind of in limbo here until September 22nd with UFC 152. I think the really only big news, other big news coming out is that George St. Pierre was cleared. To medically cleared to fight, so we are going to see that Condit GSP fight by the end of the year.
That sounds good.
That sounds like that should be interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Yes,
but I don't think there's not a whole lot of anything else going on right now.
Okay, so do you want to stick around for a little wrestling chatter?
Even though
I don't think there is much, but. Dan.
Yeah.
Did you watch Raw this week?
Oh, it was so exciting.
I saw a few things. I looked it up on the YouTube. And speaking of, you know what?
Probably the best way to watch Raw is from YouTube.
Or your DVR. But
yeah.
My mind just went completely. Oh, I watched the Daniel Bryan Kane anger management.
Yes, that was good.
I thought that was very good.
That was very, very good. And like I said on last night on In the Room, it took about that long for me to actually watch something on the show that was entertaining. We also got into CM Punk and the King thing, and that's not very exciting.
I like the promo.
The promo was the on the guy on the receiving end that I wasn't really enthralled with. Again, every week, there's nothing to look forward to. The commentary sucks. I'm just going to flat out say it. I could do a better job than Michael Cole, and I guarantee that.
It's a lot harder when you actually sit at the desk. I'll just say that, my friend.
Yes, I'll say that. I guarantee you I could do that better than Michael Cole. I just think he's like TNA and TNA. I mean, it's just – I'm sorry, Impact Wrestling. It's just very bland And at least TNA calls and moves correctly like 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah. Well, we did talk about that last week. So as far as the CM Punk Jerry Lawler thing, I thought Lance Storm tweeted that he thinks it's to the casual fan. He thinks that the casual fan doesn't realize how ridiculous CM Punk's claim is that Jerry Lawler isn't a Hall of Famer. Now, would you agree with that?
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. Not 90% of the people have no idea the caliber of Jerry Lawler and what he did in Memphis and, you know, what he did around the country for wrestling, in wrestling, who he's wrestled, he's wrestled.
If you were to base it, and Omega Squad, I'm going to you with this one, if you were to base it just on his WWE career, CM Punk has a point?
I don't even know if he does there. I mean, I think, you know, Lawler's contribution as a commentator, you know, even though he's not Jim Ross, but when he was with Jim Ross, it was a great tag team. I think he certainly deserves to be a Hall of Famer for his commentating contribution at minimum. I mean, he's certainly the longest lasting commentator in recent memory.
We
other than Jim
puppies,
Ross,
man.
Yeah, well, you're always going to have the puppies thing, but I don't know. I mean,
no,
it is what
kidding.
It is. You got to have, but yeah. No, I know you're kidding, but it's just
you're 100% correct on the announcement part, on the announcing part.
So you both feel with him simply based on his WWE commentary career, which in the last 5 years has been pretty bad. Based on that, it's a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Well, wow. He's not in the Hall of Famer for being a wrestler in WWE. He's being there for
broadcasting.
For being an announcer, and for a broadcaster. And I don't think, you know, he's not Gorilla Monsoon. He's not JR. But, you know,
he's not Bobby Heenan.
He's not Bobby Heenan, but he was good when he was with JR. He was good for what he was doing. Now, when he's with Michael Cole, he doesn't have it as much. I think it was a good idea to induct JR and Jim Ross, or JR and the King at the same time. That made a lot of sense, you know. But you know, if you took him as one single unit, I think maybe you can make a case he's not a Hall of Famer.
Very good.
I will say that I don't agree with your assessment on his announcing, Dean. I think he is very good. I would say he's better at color than Michael Cole is at play-by-play, and that I would rather listen to him talk by himself. I don't think he could do play-by-play, but I think he's carrying himself just as well for who he's been working with each of the years. When he was with JR, he had more to work off of, and vice versa. When he's with somebody else, not so much to work off of. I don't think any of what you're saying about him stinking or not being very good has anything to do with him.
I think his heart hasn't been in it.
I disagree. You work with what you got to work with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But certainly as a wrestler, he has had a Hall of Fame career, that's for sure.
Does anybody agree with me on Michael Cole?
Well,
isn't it time to change? The door is time to close and to move on.
I personally, like I said, I guess a few weeks ago, I personally would like to see Jim Ross and William Regal on one of the A or B shows instead of an internet-only show.
Hmm.
Now, yeah. Anything else exciting happen? Triple H retired. What's going on there?
Yay. Build up for WrestleMania. Yippee-doo.
That was the most worthless segment. I mean, it was just him. He talked with no point and circled around for about, you know, circled around for about 15 minutes. I just same points over and over. I was just, you know, I get build to WrestleMania. I get it, but
not as far away
not the, well, if you're going to do it this far away, you got to make it a hell of a lot more exciting than they did.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, just ramble, 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 and he just went around in circles for, what was it? It seemed like half hour.
There was no payoff. It was, no. I don't know. I'm going to walk. I don't know. I'll get back to you. You know, there was no payoff to that. You know, at least come out and say, my arm's broken. It's going to be a while, but I'll be back. Or don't. One or the other. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to build to a match, I say if you're going to build to a match for that long, at least say there's going to be a match.
So I'm just assuming, I didn't see anything, I'm just assuming you both think it's Triple H and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania?
I'm pretty sure it's Triple H, Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
I think that would be a considerable waste of Brock Lesnar.
I think it would be a considerable waste of my time.
Well, that too. That goes along with it, but what I mean is Brock Lesnar is a name. Whether you like the guy, whether you don't, whether whatever, you think he's came back and you don't like what he's done, he's a name that went outside of WWE and accomplished things that people couldn't do. You could say the heavyweight division when he was there wasn't as strong as it is now. You can say a lot of things, but he won a title that a lot of people never have. And he came back, and since he come back, they have wasted a great opportunity.
I agree. There's so much more that they can do with him at this point, and it just seems like that they're – I don't know if the writers are trying too hard. It just doesn't seem like that 100% is being given into it.
My sense is the one who's not giving 100% is Brock. That's my sense.
Really? You think it's Brock? I think, again, it's the people who he's working with. He's got to answer to somebody. And I think it's the people putting the program on. They're just not feeding him.
I think that Brock is Brock has negotiated himself a contract where he doesn't have to do much of anything. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much that the writers can do in those situations, and probably Brock doesn't want to work with I don't know, someone who's not a huge name like Triple H. You know, that's my sense. I have no evidence to that opinion, but that's my sense. My sense is Brock is a diva, and he's negotiated a huge contract for limited dates, and he wants to do it his way. He's backed Vince into a corner.
That's a fair point as well, but let's go back just as a fan for a moment. When he came back the night after WrestleMania, that was an amazing return.
No, it was a great moment and a huge pop, and I was very excited, and it just has fizzled. It's basically fizzled.
Like a lot of storylines that WWE has done, there's so much going wrong with WWE as far as what they're putting on. And unfortunately, a lot of companies out there try to emulate that. And it doesn't work for WWE. Why would it work for the Elks Lodge, for example? And that's,
nice.
I'm just saying, why would it work for them?
No, you're right. You're right. If what doesn't work for the other is not going to work for anybody else. It doesn't work for a reason.
And then you have...
And then especially if you miniaturize it to a smaller scale, it's not going to help you.
And then you have the other side of the spectrum where people are trying to take it way back to like a 1985 style of wrestling, which just frankly, when you watch it on Classics on Demand, it's... The nostalgia's there, but you watch a Madison Square Garden card from 1977... And don't fall asleep. That's the best way I get over insomnia, by putting on Classics on Demand and checking out a 1977 Madison Square Garden show. Now, not necessarily, I'm not saying the main events, like Superstar Billy Graham against Dusty Rhodes, Bull Rope match, of course, that's a great match. But I'm saying the undercard, when you have, like, Jose Estrada against Ted DiBiase, before DiBiase was a million-dollar man, you don't have much going on there. Before DiBiase actually went to Mid-South.
No, you're right. And then,
what was my original point? It was It was a lot of people are trying to go retro to be the future, and that, I don't think that works either.
Thank you, because I lost the point, too, until you brought it back. No, it's very – you're 100% right. I mean, you go back and watch it. You know, the first – one of the first things I did when I finally ordered Classics on Demand, the first thing was Spectrum Wrestling, 85. Oh, I jumped on that like crap on Velcro, and within
what
sticks to Velcro. You step in, gonna stick to you if you have Velcro. Come on. You gotta laugh. That's
just
fine.
Gonna, yeah. Okay. Sure.
Sure. Just go with me on this one. Okay, guys. Trust me. If you experiment with poop and Velcro, it will stick to it. Not so much your hands. I've tried. Wait.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser.
Oh, I don't know where that came from.
I'm actually very, very hurtful, and it hurts me even more that you played that. What was I saying? Oh, I put on Spectrum Wrestling 85, and... like, within 5 minutes, I was like, all right, I've had enough. This sucks. Back in the day, it was okay. You can't do that now.
Wrestling has evolved to a point where you can't go back to that style.
The one thing I'll say about Raw was that at least there was a lot, there seemed to be, at least, a lot more wrestling this week.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Which,
good.
Not that all the wrestling was good, but it was at least more.
At least they tried.
Yeah.
Is anybody else really falling at odds with the whole AJ as the general manager thing?
Man,
I was done with that a while ago.
I mean, the first week I was like, this could work. And then it's like, no, it's really not working. It's going to work just as well as Booker being the general manager.
Well,
yeah.
As long as I get to hear the Harlem Heat theme every week, I'll be happy.
There you go. Anyway, Niles Young, you can find at Twitter at Niles Young. You can find me at Folsom County. You can find Dan at DanLaw83. You can find Omega Squad at Omega Squad. So without further ado, we have jobs to get to, people. We're going to say goodnight. Dan, you going to say goodnight?
Good night, everyone. I love you.
How about you, Omega?
Good night, John Boy.
I've got a